Saturday, March 26, 2022. This is The Better Life. I'm your host, Timothy Lawson. Living a better life means getting a royal flush. That's right. That is right. I did it. I still can't believe that it happened, but it did. Just about a week ago, I was playing Super Times Pay at MGM National Harbor. I believe it's called Super Times Pay. This is a multi-hand game. I was playing five-handed, and it is a multi-hand game. You pay an extra coins. You play six coins per hand to possibly get paid. But if you get a four of a kind, you get paid 500 coins. That's the bonus there. So you pay six coins to get that boost on a four of a kind. What I like to do when I'm at MGM National Harbor, when my bankroll allows, is I like to sit down for just a few hundred dollars and crank it through that Super Times Pay machine. And if the four of a kind hits, I'm done. If it doesn't, then I'm done. And what happened this time was I got dealt four of the royal. I held the four. I said a little something to myself. I hit draw. I got a straight. I got a straight flush. Actually, I got two straights. I got straights on both sides because I had an outside straight draw, and I got both of them. I got a straight flush, and I got a royal flush. It happened. It finally happened. My second, look, I haven't had a hand pay up until 2022 either, and now it's just my second hand pay in 3 months. So it's going well. It's going going well, I should say. Yeah, and the poor week that I suppose that I had, the poor couple weeks that I had going into and then including my visit down to Las Vegas at the end of January, that has sort of corrected itself recently. And this little bit doesn't hurt. So thank you everybody who got excited with me and for me. My thoughts and prayers go out to Mark and Dr. Mike, who are still searching for their first royal flush. Let this be a glimmer of hope that after a handful of years of me playing video poker at a pretty regular basis, I finally got it. And of course, I had to get it five-handed, but I was playing 50-cent denominations, and the six coin per hand, it was, I think, about $15 or $17 dollars a pull. So it was not a cheap iteration, but it happened. Okay, hope everybody's doing well. This is going to be a little different bit of an episode here. I had to rearrange some things based off of availability of others and what was coming ahead. I was originally going to do a normal interview this week, and then next week was going to be sort of a Biloxi preview up and then other updates split. But because I'm leaving Thursday morning and I wasn't sure, I didn't want to put out a Biloxi preview on Wednesday when maybe people are already leaving for Biloxi. So I thought, okay, let me get the last bit of Biloxi pre-talk done this week. So then people have the most up-to-date stuff and they've gotten their last little bit of Biloxi preview. Next week will be just a normal episode with probably Jeff Parles from he's the producer of A Numbers Game. He will likely be the guest next week. The week following that will be a Biloxi review, and I'm sure I can rein in the likes of Mississippi Rob, Mark Duvall. I'm going to see if I can get Vinny Chenz, a handful of other people that are going to be down there. See if we can't get maybe even a group discussion on what this Biloxi trip was like, and then then after that we go back to your normal programming. Mark Duvall and I just got done recording a new episode of Better Viewing that'll be in the feed by the end of the weekend. You can find Better Viewing, BET2OR, Better Viewing in your podcatcher, of course. I still think we're waiting for Stitcher and maybe even Spotify too. I have to double check the status on those, but Apple Podcasts and the third-party podcaster podcast catchers should be available there. So, okay, here we go. I asked a handful of you, or I put out there on Twitter, hey, is there anything you would like me to address? And I'm going to go through these things first before I What should I say? I'm gonna go through these things before I get into the updates on trips and Biloxi and stuff like that. So So the first thing I'm gonna bring up is I started a community on Twitter. Twitter has started this new feature called communities. It's their answer to things like Facebook groups. I don't think it's gonna be as useful as Facebook groups. We shall see. But I'm a social media person. I should probably be on top of these things. I went ahead and I started a community called Casino Gaming and Sports Betting. Some of you have gotten involved in that. We've dropped a couple tweets in there. It's kind of like, it's just targeted tweeting is really all it kind of becomes. Is when you go to write a tweet, you can choose whether you want to share it with everybody in your feed or if you want to share it with just this community. So it ends up just sort of becoming targeted tweeting. But one thing I asked people was, hey, they're casino chip collectors. I know there's a lot of us here in this group. What is your prerequisite for collecting the chip? What's your prerequisite for collecting a chip? Now, I know a lot of people need to gamble there, but I was actually surprised by the amount of people that responded that they merely have to be on property, which is probably the lowest threshold, right? I mean, I can't imagine, unless it's something like a Stardust chip. Like, I have a Stardust chip that I got. I've never been to Stardust, but, like, it's legendary enough I wanted a chip anyway, so I have a Stardust chip. But I can't imagine, like, a open, available casino. I can't imagine, like, just getting a chip and then, like, sort of being content with that. I imagine at the very least you'd want to have had to have visited the casino. Some of you that's the threshold. That's the low threshold. You just have to be on property. Most people responded that they have to gamble there. That's the way that I am. And then I asked, does it have to be a table game? And I was actually kind of surprised by the amount of people that did say, yeah, it has to be a table game. You have to get on a table game. I don't have to do it at a table game. I need to wager money on property, whether that's making a sports bet at the window, whether that's playing video poker, playing slots, or playing a table game. Now, I prefer table game. That is definitely the preference that I have. But if a table game isn't an easy win, or if I just like hop in and take advantage of doing something else, so long as I've wagered money on property, that's enough for me, and I will hunt down my chip. So that is how sort of the bar that I've put on getting. On getting a chip, and I'm very excited. I have to check my Biloxi chip collection. I think I have all the major ones except for Hard Rock. So it'll be time to get the Hard Rock chip this trip for sure. Okay, I asked a question. Anything you'd like for me to address in this upcoming episode? I'm just gonna go down as they put here in the thread. Mississippi Rob wants me to address Casino War. This is a little ongoing joke that we've had because I listed Casino War as the first when I was at MGM National Harbor about a week ago, and I was saying, hey, here's some things I'm noticing about MGM National Harbor. In the list of table game minimums, I listed Casino War first. The reason why I did that is because Casino War was a $25 game at MGM National Harbor, and I find that to be significant, right? Casino War is like the most low-rolling, it should be the most accessible table game on the whole floor, and yet at MGM National Harbor, it's still $25. And so he gave me a hard time of like listing it first, like it's this thing we should all be aware of. So I don't recommend playing Casino War ever for any reason, even if it's only $5. If you want to play Casino War, I'm not going to look at you any differently. But if you're looking for my thoughts, do not play Casino War. Travel Zork asked, table limits. The annoyance of some of the crazy craps and baccarat limits. I guess more the reason for coffee dice and coffee baccarat. Yeah, so table game limits, as I just mentioned, MGM National Harbor. I haven't played a table game in the National Harbor in years. Like, I think it might have been a couple years since I've sat at a proper table and played. Now, I've played stadium gaming. I've played, like, stadium craps. I think that might be the only table gaming I've really done even at MGM National Harbor since the pandemic started was, maybe I have a couple craps games under my belt at MGM National Harbor since the pandemic started, but it's not many. I'm sure I've talked about it on the podcast here, and you listeners probably know better than I do. But it's been a while since I've played a proper table game. Baccarat is $100 to $300 on the casino floor. That's not even in the high limit room. On the casino floor to play a baccarat game, it's $100 to $300. If you most places you go that is gambling centric, yeah, table like the minimums are going to be in the $15 range on a typical night, right? Where $15 used to be sort of the over under, if you will, on table game limits, where like low rolling joints would be a little bit below that. Nicer places would be a little bit above that, but your average property would be right around 15. Now it seems like 15 is kind of the floor at some of these places, and it's disheartening, it's frustrating, but I know a lot of local joints still have limits underneath that. So like I've been through Iowa, I've seen table limits, I've even seen craps tables at $5 with, it's not even a full table. I was at another place in Iowa. I played a $25 squeeze game at a baccarat game when I was there. So local joints are going to be really hit or miss on this stuff. But you know, Las Vegas, Atlantic City. It'll be really interesting to see what Biloxi looks like. We'll be there Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then I'll be there Sunday, Monday. It'll be really interesting to see how the table game minimums really change day-to-day, property-to-property, for a place that's really known for reasonable table minimums. But yeah, I mean, playing in the morning really is the move now if you're at a property where table game minimums are a little crazy. The morning is when you're going to want to get on that table. Maybe you get lucky and you can get grandfathered into when they bump it up. But if you want a nice session and not be threatened with higher minimums, got to play in the morning, I think. What we got here? Jacob wants to know, flat betting versus units, pre-game soccer betting, what stats to look for, etc., and how do you keep track of your betting? Flat betting versus units, I'm not quite sure the comparison here, but I can speak to sort of how I apply betting. When for plays that I am making that aren't of my own origination. So I originate a lot of my own plays for betting the USL. I originate a lot of my own thoughts and plays on a handful of soccer leagues. But like I follow Gil and Drew Dinsick on tennis bets. I have a flat bet for that. I have a dollar amount that when one of those two people say that they, oh, and Dan Weston as well, who is often on these programs. When they say they like to play in tennis, I play it, and I have a flat bet amount that I play it. It doesn't matter how much they gush about it. I have a flat bet amount that I like that I use. But for my own stuff, so a good example would be right now, the USL just started. I've been playing the USL. I have sort of a range of bets, and it ranges anywhere from one unit, which is what that flat bet would be, of the previous that I spoke of previously, like with tennis and golf, etc., all the way up to about 2.5 units, which is sort of what I consider my max value play. And that's the range that I have. But like I said, I only do that with like soccer and maybe some player props in other sports. Otherwise, I do just flat bet. And my flat bet being what I would consider one unit in my own origination. Pre-game soccer betting, what stats to look at. Find somewhere that has some sort of expected goal data. That is a good place to start. I use Footy Stats, footystats.org. I think they have a free option. I paid like the $20 a month or whatever it is for the premium. That's because I bet enough to warrant that. If you don't, maybe don't think about investing in a place that has that kind of data, but definitely expected goal data is good to know. I think form matters a lot in soccer, form being how well a team's doing currently in their past 5 to 6 games. You can find teams that are maybe middle of the road that are on a really nice tear against against other teams that maybe are considered better but are a little choppy, and you can find some really competitive teams that are still catching points or an underdog that are, you can find some really good value there. So form matters, expected goals, and then you know, being able to tell, I mean, soccer is definitely a sport, especially with the leagues I pay attention to, where qualitative data, meaning you are familiar with the team's culture, the way they play, you know, the way they adapt when they catch a red card, when they're up against a red card, etc. That stuff is just as important if you're trying to really maximize your value in a soccer league than just the quantitative data of what's the XG say about this match. How to keep track of your betting. This is kind of on personal preference. At the very least, you should be keeping track of wins and losses, right? Like standard cash account type, like today I lost $300 with the bets and I won $500 with the bets, so therefore I am plus 200, right? Like that, you know, you should at the very least be tracking something like that so you can see, right? And that's different than just looking at the balances of all your accounts, right? So I'm in Virginia. We have a handful of legal operators. I think we have at least seven, right? And I think I have cash in at least like six of them. You know, instead of just paying attention to like the balance of all of them, have a central location where you're seeing sort of what the red and black of your day, of your week, of your month looks like. Now, I personally, especially with soccer, but I think you should do this with all leagues, with all style of plays, like whatever, like with the different markets that you bet into. I track how well I'm doing in a league, right? So USL, MLS, La Liga, Premier League, whatever it may be. And you can do this with football, baseball, basketball. Especially with basketball, you can like break it down at a conference. And then I have type of bet, right? So like, you know, the handicap, the you know, game total, team total, both teams to score, etc. And again, that transcends other markets. You can do that with game props, player props, etc. You know, wide receiver props versus running back props, whatever. So that way I can see how well I'm doing in a league. I can see how well I'm doing with a certain type of bet. And then I also track, I also make sure I track which shop it's at, right? So, okay, it turns out I'm finding a lot of value at DraftKings, right? Like I'm just winning more often at DraftKings versus BetMGM. I don't know why that is, but it's good for me to see that. It's good for me to know that maybe I should, maybe there's something there. Now I look, is there a correlation between where I'm, you know, when I'm winning at DraftKings versus a certain league? Oh, it looks like I'm getting the best, I'm finding my best numbers in Bundesliga when I shop it at DraftKings. And that maybe helps me that when I like a play to go look at DraftKings first to maybe get on a line, because I don't need to, if anybody's done this long enough, if you take too long shopping a line, by the time you come back around to the shop that had the best line, it might have moved already. So, you know, it's good to know some of those things early. Anyways, that's some of the way that I keep track of my betting, is not only sort of the cash flow, the black and red of it all, but sort of seeing where my bets are going as far as what shops am I betting into, how am I doing in each market, and then it matters to me in soccer how well I'm doing in each league. Joshua, how would you feel right now if you dropped $20 on St. Peter's to win it all? I'd be feeling really good, especially now because I think all of my bets for the tournament have lost now. I had futures on UCLA, Providence, and Arizona. Those have all gone by the wayside. I did really well in the first 4 days. I have not done so well in this most recent run of games. And I'm kind of just, I think I've checked out, I think, of NCAA. We'll see if anything, I don't think there's going to be much value moving forward. We shall see. I think the St. Peter's love, I don't know, I might be on North Carolina. If St. Peter starts out pretty hot again tonight, I might try to take up North Carolina. But we'll see. I might not get fresh with it, or might not get cute with it. My involvement with NCAA has probably come to an end this year. But it is, St. Peter's is fun to watch. It is definitely a reason to keep watching, even though all my bets have resulted. So. A lot of fun there. And then someone asked, how well is Eric doing on his soccer betting? Eric's not betting soccer. He could barely watch it, for crying out loud. Can you imagine him trying to put money on it? Okay, that is the questions that I got here in response to this tweet. Let's talk about what's coming up. First of all, Pittsburgh. March 14, right? or I'm sorry, March 14th. It is March. It's almost done. May 15 in Pittsburgh. Nothing has developed. As I mentioned, nothing has developed. Like I mentioned last time, the 14th can hang out at Rivers. That evening, I'm running over across the street to go watch a soccer match. People are welcome to join me if you'd like, but there's going to be no formal organization to this. And then on the 15th, going to hang out at Meadows. That's right now what I have plans for. Shoot me an email, podcast@thebetterlife.us. Shoot me a DM at The Better Life on Twitter or on Instagram. Just let me know, hey, I'll likely show up to Meadows. I may show up to Rivers, whatever it may be. You don't have to commit to anything. I just want to get a mental idea of sort of how many people might be around to see if it's worth maybe trying to maybe put in for a reserve table or whatever it may be. I'm only going to put as much effort into this as the indication I get on how many people may show up. So if you think you might show up, again, no one's going to hold you to it. But it's a good indicator and could let me know what I may need to do to prepare. Vegas Vacation 11, I will be there June 12th through June, 14th, I think. Right now, I'm slated to be there June 12th to June 15th. That's probably going to slide left one day. If that changes, it'll be because it slides left one day. Otherwise, I plan on being there June 12th to June 15th. I don't have anywhere reserved yet, but I will likely have a room downtown and a room on the strip near Mirage, if not right there at Mirage. So that is my plan right now. I don't have a property reserved yet, but I was thinking about getting a spot at Virgin because I know right now of a comped room. I have a feeling, though, that after this trip to Biloxi, I could probably get a comped room at Mirage after my play at Beau Rivage there, but we shall see. But I will be there. I will be, of course, at the family meet and greet that's on Monday night, the 13th. And I will be at the, I just RSVP'd and got my ticket to the cocktail experience that Karen and Tony will be putting on. It was a fantastic time last time. I have a video on it. You can find at the youtube.com/thebetterlife. There is a video on Tony showing how to make the Sinatra smash. It was a great time. And so when I heard that the RSVP was open on the 360 Vegas Patreon, I actually went and pledged my $7 to become a 360 Vegas patron so I could get on that RSVP so I didn't miss out on that experience, because it was a lot of fun and I look forward to doing it again this year. June 12th through 14th is Vegas Vacation. I should be there through the 15th. Hope to see some people there. Last but not least, Biloxi, Mississippi. It's coming. Less than a week away. I decided to talk to a couple of my friends that I'll be down there with. First up, Mississippi Rob, the guy who helped take the lead on a number of things organizing this. Please shoot him a tweet at MississippiRob4. Thank him for putting this together if you plan on being in the area. I hope to see some of you. Here's what Mississippi Rob and I talked about in preparation for Biloxi. Everybody, I gotta say that the organizer, if I will, of this, at least the inspirer, if that's what we can call you, of this trip to Biloxi, Mr. Mississippi Rob. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good, doing great actually. Just starting my week of vacation, getting ready to go.
Yes, very good. First of all, thank you so much for really taking the lead on motivating people to do this. You've organized at least a brief set of plans for people to like hang out with each other. You've really taken the lead on the golf setup. So I need a openness by thanking you for doing all that, because that's no easy task. So thank you.
Yep, sure. It's no problem. I like planning. I do that with my family and friends all the time. So it's just another hobby for me. So I love a good spreadsheet and getting a plan together. So it's no problem.
Yeah. So let's start with so we're going down to Biloxi. March 31st is when I get in. I'm there till the 4th. When are you in and out?
So I am going to be visiting family a little bit north of Biloxi. The day before. And so that Thursday morning, I'm planning to drive down pretty early and get into town and run some errands, do a few things. meet up with a few folks early, and then so I'll be checking in at the IP Thursday afternoon and heading straight to wherever probably you or the group is. So,
well, I'll be my first stop is Boomtown. So
that's a perfect yes. start to the trip.
That's right.
You got to ease your way into the Beau Rivage. You know, the Boomtown. If Boomtown is like your little half step. The Beau Rivage is about three steps more.
Right. Let's start with, for people who have never been to Biloxi, and we've done this every time we've talked about Biloxi, but I think it's worth doing. What are a few things that you like about Biloxi? What do you think makes it stand out from other gambling destinations?
So I obviously grew up just north of the Back Bay there, just between, so you're familiar with it. Some other folks might not be, but where the Scarlet Pearl actually is located, that's where I grew up. So for most of my childhood. So obviously I'm partial. But the main thing as far as the destination is obviously you've got low limits. You've got you've got 8 to 10 casinos all in the area. And the thing that I like most about it is just like that coast culture and the town, you know, it's just a beautiful area. Now I will say you come and visit in July or August, you're going to be as hot and humid as you've ever, you know, experienced sweat that you can't ever get to dry. But this time of year, this is probably about perfect weather. I prefer probably the May timeframe before it gets blistering hot. But yeah, that's really what pulls most people in, and being able to step right outside and smell the salt water and get some of those pretty views. And then again, the culture is just, it's very different for anybody who hasn't been to Mississippi before. A lot of the stereotypes, if you think the good old country boys from Mississippi, and there's plenty of those, and you could probably hear it in my voice. I'm not really country, but you know, comparatively, I guess I am. But the coast is just a different animal. It's more like New Orleans or Mobile than it is the rest of the state of Mississippi. So it's just a little bit different.
Yeah. Okay. So looking at the sort of basic agenda, if we will, the 2022 Biloxi meetup Thursday, March 31st, it's Thursday. We are starting with a 6 p.m. meetup at Beau Rivage. Now, Beau Rivage, I think, is probably not much argument, the nicest property in Biloxi. Is that fair?
Yep, by far. Yeah. There's a few other ones that are plenty nice, but as far as the luxury and design and treated all, like you gamble high enough there, you get treated like you're, you know, like you get treated in Vegas, basically.
Yeah. And what do you, so we're starting the night off there. I know I'm going to be there. So I know a handful of people are staying there. Others are spread, sort of sprinkled around the other parts of Biloxi. But other than it just being the nicest property, what do you enjoy about Beau Rivage?
Probably the multitude of options. They've got so many table games, so many slots. I mean, it's gotta be the biggest gaming floor. IP might rival it. But it's one of the biggest gaming floors. You got the nicest restaurants. And then from there, you've got a good bouncing off point of, it's always nice to check things out there. And then if the limits are too high or it's just too packed or crazy or whatever, you can go to Hard Rock next door, or then you can kind of pick your point, whether you want to head further down the coastline there, to the Harrah's Palace Golden Nugget area, or you want to head up the interstate across the bay to Scarlet Pearl or something like that. So that's kind of where I like to start it out.
Okay. Obviously we're gonna, the meetup there I think will quickly turn into group gaming immediately, because as we'll all be clamoring to get some gambling going. I really enjoy the craps tables there. The crews have always been good there. And as you pointed out in this piece that you wrote for travelfanboy.com, two video poker bars, some higher limits than other casinos, but I think, you know, it's high for Biloxi, but I think at this point, I think people are going to be used to the limits.
That's right. Yeah. And I figured it would be a good starting point with, it's the nicest. It gives you the comparison of whenever you want to come back there at any point in the weekend. A lot of folks are going to be staying there. And then also it's going to be a Thursday night. So we're starting like the weekend a little bit early. So that's going to be the lowest limits you'll see at Beau Rivage, right? Friday and Saturday night, it might bump up some, but there's a very outside chance we might could find a $10 craps table there on Thursday night. I'm sure that we'll find 15, but maybe a 10. So that just kind of gives you a baseline there.
Okay. I really like Beau Rivage. I'm excited to stay there. I got lucky I know a lot of people were having problems getting good value on rooms there. I got lucky in like this little window of time in which maybe I gave an MGM property enough play to like give me some better rates. But I was seeing the same high rates everybody else was and managed. And then all of a sudden one day, like it was much cheaper and I quickly booked because I know that wasn't going to last. So
yeah. They aren't shy about how much pride they take in their property compared to some of the others. Cause yeah, there are some times with no comps, whatever, like the base level rooms. I mean, those weekend nights can be $300-$400 a night in South Mississippi. That's pretty wild to think.
Yeah. And a brief look at Beau Rivage's website. There really isn't any promotions going on while we're there that really seem to be worthwhile. One of the things that a lot of casinos are doing right now with promotions that make visiting from out of town less, like there's less reason to try to take advantage of these promotions, is their long earning period promotions, right? Where, so over a span of 3 weeks, your play gets turned into drawings. And then on a certain day, there's this drawing, right? Which is very great when it's a local casino. It's a perfect way to market when you're a local casino. When you're visitors like us, there's less to take advantage of. I did see Mystery Multiplier, though. This is probably the one thing that I'll take advantage sporadically through the weekend. Every Sunday through September, so the Sunday will be there, qualifies for this, went up to 20x slot dollars on a Mystery Multiplier. So I believe it's probably swipe at the kiosk, see what your multiplier is. If it's high enough, if it's 5x or more, I may do some concentrated play on some machine play to take advantage of that. But otherwise, nothing real interesting in Beau Rivage. Going on to day two, April 1st, no fooling here. It'll be the first full day. We're going out to Shell Landing. About 14, 15 of us are going out to Shell Landing for some golf. Why are we going to Shell Landing? I'm sure the people who aren't going are probably like, I don't really care, but for those that are listening who are unfamiliar, let them know through this, like, why are we going to Shell Landing?
Yeah. So to give some background, there's plenty of golf courses to go to on the coast. And I would say if I had to rank them from my knowledge of them, many of them I haven't played yet, just because I haven't been back there in years since I've been able to pick up golf again. But Shell Landing's probably like the number, I would say maybe four course, somewhere between three and five ranked course down there in South Mississippi. But actually there's going to be a senior PGA tournament that going on that weekend at the Grand Bear Jack Nicklaus design course that's connected with the Harrah's Gulf Coast. And so that course is filled up obviously with the tournament. And I think Fallen Oak, which is Beau Rivage's, which it is the number one premier golf course, like it's legit. And that's the one I tried to get on. But I think they must be having some special event tied into the tournament, probably a bunch of high rollers down there, somebody business connections, and they're doing some kind of little thing of their own. So anyways, those two courses were out of which I would have liked to played. But this Shell Landing, I may have played it when I was a kid. I haven't played it in a very long time. If I did, I honestly can't remember, back when I was a teenager maybe. But it's Davis Love III designed. It's kind of in some of the marsh. I wouldn't say swamplands, but marsh, obviously a pretty course, about 20 minutes over in Van Cleve, just a little town outside of the Biloxi area. So really, really solid course. I've heard only good things about it. And as far as the rate, it's like $100 for a round, which is higher for Mississippi, but for that level of golf course, it's not a bad deal at all.
So. Yeah. So I saw the groups that you put out to the people that are golfing, and I see that I'm in a middle group, which I think is unfair to everybody behind me that's got to wait for me to find my ball every hole. I need to come equipped with some flashing balls or ones that make noise at all times so I can always find it. I am not great at tracking where I've hit my ball. So
yeah, well, from the first tee that you could see, I saw some of the holes online. There's going to be a number of lost balls that day. So whereas our last trip, we were searching for them in the desert. The nice thing about here is you'll probably know pretty quick whether you have a chance of finding it or not. It's either going to be see it, or just go ahead and drop, because it won't even give you a chance like the desert with some of the water and marshlands and woods and everything else. So that's the one nice thing. But you won't be alone in that, I'm sure. I'll have a whole box of balls there for me in case I lose way too many.
Yeah, I'll have to see. I have a handful of balls still left over from Vegas. I'll have to see how many I have, but I'm hoping what I have here can hopefully get me through.
Oh yeah. You'll be fine. Don't worry about that. I got plenty extra.
All right, very good. Okay, that is our morning. Now you have here Boomtown meetup for the non-golfers around 12. Now, of course, this is just your recommendation for people.
That's right. Yep.
People can explore Biloxi however they like. I know Mark Duvall is going to be there. We'll hear from him here in a few minutes, but I know Mark's going to be there and he's not golfing. So I imagine he'd be open to hanging out, playing, yep, you know, wherever, whenever, based on where everybody else is. So don't think that the party's leaving town with the golfing trip. There's going to be a handful of people that we're definitely going to be around that you've heard on podcasts here and there that'll be up for some gaming, I'm sure.
Exactly like you said, I just put Boomtown in there because I thought it was a unique place that, you know, that you or I have talked about before, and so kind of a suggestion. But, you know, anywhere and everywhere is open game that day. So
yeah. So you mentioned Boomtown. Boomtown does not really have any good. They have a kiosk game on. Their calendar does not go past March 31st. Okay. They have hot seat Thursdays. We've all seen a hot seat promotions. It's pretty standard. No reason to stick around just for that. Boomtown is worth seeing. It's this super low roller joints. There's not even a hotel. There's an RV park that you can park in. That's actually part of the comp, like the part of comps that they offer you is like parking your RV for free. That's what they can offer you.
Yeah. Yep. But I've gotten a few of those.
But it
offers,
is
never taking them up.
Yeah. But it is a it knows what it is, and it totally embraces it. Yep. And it's a great property, and the food's pretty good
for you get exactly kind of what you expect there. Nothing fancy, not trying to impress anybody, but they want to give you a good gamble and you know, get some decent food and some other options around there too, you know.
Yep. And then later that night, 5 p.m., you mentioned here your favorite casino, non-smoking casino, lower limits, good drink service, and usually has decent craps. There's a roll-to-win table that we've played on before, and the sports book is pretty cool. There's even some Buffalo Diamond slots, which I'm looking very forward to. The one thing I want to make a note here is that anybody who's listened to our trip reviews in Biloxi, one big, and I will probably be sitting at the roll-to-win table unless there's a decent amount of room at the other table for most people. Because I don't know if you remember this, Rob, we got a pretty significant dining comps or express comps, whatever you want to call them, just off our brief roll to win play. So unless anything's changed, a couple hours playing some roll to win probably might be enough for a bite to eat before the night's over.
Yeah. Yeah. And me and my buddy, the last time we went a few months ago, we did the same thing. I love playing at live craps. I mean, that makes, you know, a world of difference. But for what they were offering and everything else, it was worth a shot to try and stick on there. Now, based on how many people we have and everything, I doubt we'll all be able to fit, you know, on there. But
right.
But yeah, that's a very good option for the Palace.
Yeah. I took a gander at Palace Promotions. They have a slot tournament on that Saturday there. Slot tournaments take some time, and I really got into slot tournaments, so I'm probably not going to bother with anything there. And then they also have what they're calling a Lucky Duck Cash and Power Play giveaway on that Friday. And it's another drawing, but it's a same day drawing, which is a little bit better. But of course, I'm not concentrating enough play at Palace on that Friday to really matter. But it says visit kiosk for drawing check-in after 7. So I don't know how the roll to win table there at Palace has me curious on how that's getting like registered in the system. There's a chance that we might accidentally get some drawing points there. So maybe we'll have to remember to check the kiosk after 7 after playing for a little while there. But that's what's going on at Palace. That is Friday. Saturday, September 2nd, the last full day of being in Biloxi. You mentioned a handful of people are possibly going out for another iteration of golf. I will not be. I'll be wandering around Biloxi, culminating that evening at Scarlet Pearl, the newest casino on the coast, as you mentioned here. It's got a really great It's got a really great atmosphere. I mean, it would trick you in if when you first see it, this is how I feel. If you went to Scarlet Pearl first, you wouldn't believe that there's a nicer property in Biloxi. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. Yep. I think you're dead on right. That's just the white brand new feel of the casino. It's definitely, and the high ceiling, something about that just makes a difference to me is the raised yes. ceilings and everything else just makes it feel that much more open and that much nicer when you can kind of see all throughout and see people from a distance. It's like an auditorium type feel, you know, but obviously very nice.
Yeah. So the one promotion I see going on at Scarlet Pearl on Tuesdays. Now that'll be that'll escape me. So we won't be able to use that. They have a slot promotion on Fridays and Saturdays that I don't really think so. And then they have a peel and reveal. If you get 500 tier credits, you swipe at a kiosk and select promotions to peel and reveal your prize. I imagine this is one of those things where you dump about a few hundred dollars into a slot machine to get $5 of free play. But if for some reason on that Sunday, which is going to be the following day, if I have enough time to swing by Scarlet Pearl, if they have like a Buffalo Diamond machine or another machine that I like playing, it might be worth racking up the points to see if there's a way to take advantage of that. But yeah, and then that's day three. Those are the three, I guess, the two full days plus the Friday half day, if you will. And then you mentioned there's other casinos like IP, Harris, Golden Nugget, Hard Rock, Treasure Bay, Island View. Now Treasure Bay and Island View are outside of the Biloxi area. They're in like the Gulf Coast yeah. area, but they're outside of Biloxi. If someone has a car, do you think it's worth driving out to these?
Treasure Bay is probably like somewhere between, it's only like maybe 6-7 minutes down the coast from Beau Rivage. It's still technically in Biloxi, but now Island View is like 20 minutes down the road all the way over in Gulfport. It's really close to the airport, actually, for most people flying into the airport. When depending on how you drive or get driven to over to the casinos, you won't be, the airport's probably 5-6 minutes from Island View. So nothing special at all about Island View to me. That's a very locals joint. They did open up like a second part of the casino that's like apparently over on the beach side of the highway down there, and I haven't seen it yet, but I've heard it's pretty neat looking. But now Treasure Bay, that's low rolling to the extreme. And so if that's what you're interested in, it's very low ceilings, very smoky. But at one time before the pandemic hit, I played some $2 pie gal there. So I imagine they've still probably got some $5 or, I don't know, they might have like a $7 pie guy now. Who knows?
Oh, man. Now, that place used to be an actual pirate ship in the day. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. I never got to go in it because it was a 21 and older. They didn't have like a kid's arcade whenever I was a kid. But, man, I wanted to go in there so bad. And sadly, whenever Katrina came through, it not only took it out, but it shipped the darn pirate ship down the highway a mile or so down into the Coliseum parking lot. So it was a sad day, and they didn't ever rebuild it back the same.
That's too bad. So all these are the casinos: IP, Harris, Golden Nugget, and Hard Rock. Golden Nugget and Harris don't really have any good promotions going on. Neither does IP. A lot of the promotions they have are midweek promotions, which we're not going to be there for. The weekend promotions are usually long-term periods for earning periods. Some of it's like very slot focused and like hot seat stuff that's not really good for just being in the casino for a couple of hours. Yeah. But the one promotion that is still around and available that I see, and I believe the only time that I've ever been in Hard Rock Biloxi was the first time we were in Biloxi. And if I remember right, we wandered in, walked around, and I think we wandered right back out because there really wasn't much to do. But they do have a pretty decent sign-up bonus. If you earn X amount of points, up to 1,800 points, you can get $100, $200, or $300 in what they call extra cash, which I imagine is either free play or something that can be transferred into free play. So if you have the time and you're willing to do some concentrated play, that is something I think is worth looking into promotion-wise in Biloxi. Now, of course, there are other sign-up offers across these casinos that I didn't really look into because I've already signed up for those, but they're very standard sign-up promotions where it's like you get $10 of free play if you sign up, where you get to play the kiosk game the one time. There's really nothing significant that I've noticed, but this one is a pretty good sign-up bonus for the area.
Yeah, I know at one time Treasure Bay used to have like a loss rebate one, whatever, come back and get your half your losses one
Oh,
day
yeah.
and another, but I haven't seen that in a while and I haven't looked into it, but again, for new players.
Yeah. Okay. So then I guess my last question for you here. Now, with what we just described was a Thursday evening and then a full day Friday, Saturday. Now, I'm going to be there Sunday. I leave midday Monday. Sunday, I'm probably doing some concentrated play at a couple areas, depending on what other people are doing. Monday, I'll probably focus on like producing content or whatever I'm able to get. But if anybody has a car or not, or whether is there anything in the Biloxi area that's not gambling related that you have to recommend? Not that I want to take people away from the casino, but I think it's worth mentioning here.
Yeah. I think the main thing, as far as like culture and the things that you can kind of pick up. Now, I don't know about like outdoors. There's a lot of fishing, obviously, freshwater, most especially saltwater, all around the area that all the locals and a lot of people travel to there to partake of. Even folks in North Mississippi drive down there pretty often. And then, but really, the easiest and probably most unique thing to Biloxi is just some of the food. And so looking, and you've got so many different restaurant and everything options right there close to the casinos. There's a number of kind of some classy, but a lot of seafood, obviously, options all within a bunch of them are right there within walking distance of the Beauvais. But yeah, if you're willing to drive within probably 5 to 7 miles of there, you've got a lot of options. And if anybody, needs anything, obviously they can check with me, message me, or see me there, and I could give them some suggestions.
By the way, I just looked at Treasure Bay. New members can't lose. Free slot play for up to $100 in losses. So
There you go.
that is what they currently have promoted there. Now, I guess the last thing we do have to cut, and I apologize, I've held you for a little longer than I said I would, Rob, but I'm very excited to talk about Biloxi here. The last thing we have to talk about is betting on sports. We've talked about the casinos, talked about activities around. Now, the thing to know about Mississippi is you can bet on sports, but it has to be inside the casino. There is no mobile application. So,
The one thing that some of them opened up, I haven't tried it out yet. I believe like the bet, it's legal to use a mobile app in Mississippi when you're on the premises. So, and
right.
I'm pretty sure the Beauvais does that with BetMGM, which is a weird thing. But if you already have an account, it might be a little more convenient for you. But I don't know whether the other ones still do that or not with their apps.
Now, one thing I'm going to be testing, Rob, is if they put up a USL line, I may test how much they're willing to take on a USL bet.
I want to see you move it just a little bit. After I bet it, let my small stakes go in first, and then you can just pound it.
Yeah. Very good. Rob, I'm excited, man. We are less than a week from being three sheets on a handful of walk me downs. The official beverage of Biloxi gambling trips.
Well, when I assure you, whenever somebody comes up that first night trying to find me, just look for somebody holding a blue drink in their hand. You'll see us.
Look for a group of people holding blue drinks, because I believe myself, a handful of the other people in our group chat. I think I have Mark Duvall on board, so I think it's going to be a crap table full of people getting shitty off some walk me downs.
Just drink water in between, because oh, that
Yes.
headache last time was a little rough for me.
Yeah, that can get to you. Rob, I'm looking forward to it, man. We'll see you soon.
All right, thanks, Dan.
Looking forward to seeing Rob down there and then making his first appearance ever, his first visit ever to Biloxi, Mississippi, is Mark Duvall from You Can Bet on That. Now, unfortunately, Dr. Mike will not be able to join us, but Mark Duvall fortunately can. So I wanted to see what he's looking forward to on his first trip to Biloxi. All right, Mark Duvall from You Can Bet on That, sir. How are you?
Very good. How are you, Tim?
I'm good. We are just a week away from when I'm leaving from or leaving for Biloxi. You're less than a week away, right? Because I think you get in a day before I do. Something we don't we're so used to listening to you and Dr. Mike talk about local gambling there in Southern California. We hear about the Vegas trips, but it's been a while since we've heard about you guys going to a new location. Now, unfortunately, Dr. Mike won't be able to join, but this is wait, is this the first time you've taken a new a destination trip for gambling since Atlantic City?
Yes, it is. And it's the first time that I've gone someplace completely new since Foxwoods and Mohegan Sun for that first Gamblapalooza.
Oh,
because when we went to Atlantic City, that was actually our second time there.
Gotcha.
So this has been quite a while since I've gone to a completely new place.
Like, does it get you excited the same way that another gambling trip does? Is there like an added layer of excitement because this one's new?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you know, I've never seen any of these casinos before. Definitely looking forward to it. Oh, yeah. And gosh, I haven't been down to that part of the country, you know, in 30 years, something like that. So definitely looking forward to it.
So what are, you know, other than getting to a craps table, what are you looking forward to gambling wise in Biloxi?
Well, gambling wise, I'm really looking for playing with people, you know, whether it's craps, whether it's Pai Gow, I just want to kind of be involved in the whole social aspect of it. I am prepared to kind of go with the flow, whatever anybody wants to do or wherever, you know, the waves of, you know, decisions take us depending on what people are up for. Yeah, in a way, I kind of want to relax my way through this exciting weekend, right? I don't need to make any plans for myself. It's just, hey, what do you guys want to do?
Yeah. Okay. What about outside of gambling? Is there anything about the Gulf Coast or Biloxi specifically that you're hoping to see, experience at all?
Not really. Not necessarily. No, I hadn't even thought about that. There's so many properties, right, that we're going to end up going to, and I imagine we'll spend some time in each one of them. So I wasn't really thinking in terms of sightseeing or, you know, anything like that. Now, as you said, I am getting in a day earlier than you, and I plan to drive over to Harrah's New Orleans just to check that out since I've never been there. So it doesn't really answer your question because it's yet another casino. But, you know, I am going to go out of my way there. And since I'm bringing that up, maybe, I don't know, you've been to Biloxi before. I don't know if you've really been to the New Orleans area. Are there any other casinos around Harrah's New Orleans that I should stop and see?
I can't answer that from experience.
Okay.
But I can say, similar to you, I am swinging through a New Orleans casino. I'm going to swing through Boomtown, New Orleans.
Okay.
Not only just to sort of peek my head around a different casino, but I think, if I'm understanding my offer there, right, I think I might just have to go in and swipe my card or something and I'll get like $80 my cash or whatever, like my, okay. Like, so I have to double check to see if that's dependent on a reservation or not, but either way, I plan on poking my head in there just to be like, what, let me at least look at one other casino. Yeah. And I'll probably do the standard, play like a hand of blackjack to get my chip type of thing.
Right.
Do you intend, how do you like doing that when you're just popping into a new casino? What is sort of your routine to come out with it? Do you collect chips? I guess this is on the.
I used to, not so much anymore. I do have a collection from like the 90s and the early 2000s, but I kind of stopped doing that.
Oh.
Not conscious choice. Just, I don't know, but no, you know, like with, okay. So Harrah's New Orleans, I'm probably just going to do a walkthrough. Okay. And I'll try to walk through as much of it as I can, you know, not just the casino, but if there are other places, just to get a sense of it. And I'm thinking I may not even play there, but we'll see. You know, I'll definitely slide my card. You never know.
Right.
There might be something waiting there, and that might change my mind. But no, just a walkthrough, and not a quick walkthrough, but, you know, to really look around to get a sense of it.
So in Biloxi there, there are a handful of casinos. You will, as far as be staying at Harrah's, Gulf Coast, because of the relationship you obviously have with Caesars.
Yep.
Do you see any other opportunity or any other reason to really invest time and energy into their property for establishing anything sort of relationship? Or are you just so bought into Caesars that it's not worth it?
I guess the answer is no. I'm not looking to set up any kind of relationship with the other casinos there.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean that I'm going to concentrate my play at Harrah's.
Right.
There's not really an incentive for me to play at Harrah's. I hope my host isn't listening. You know, because I already have that relationship, right? And of course, I will play there. I'm staying there. But, you know, if we're somewhere else and it's going great, I'm not going to be thinking, oh, I got to get back to Harrah's. Just like I'm not going to be thinking, oh, I've got to put in more play here to make this relationship, because I probably won't be going back anytime soon. Right. Is there an MGM property in Biloxi?
Yeah. So the few properties that extend outside, of course, there's Golden Nugget Biloxi. Of course, that's in the Golden Nugget system there. And then Beau Rivage is an MGM property.
Okay.
And then I guess technically Boomtown is on the My Choice. So yeah, there's Boomtown as well that's on the My Choice system.
You know, we just, I asked that, but at the same time, you know, I play at MGM properties in Las Vegas too, and I've never really made a dent in their system just because, you know, every week we go to Harrah's Southern California. Yeah. So that's just going to be the way it is. So no, I'm not looking to make any new relationships with casino players clubs.
You've never been down there, but we've been a handful of times. We being myself, Mississippi Rob, yeah. Other people, we've spoken about it. Like, what is your sort of like, what are you expecting from Biloxi, having heard us talk about it for a few years now?
I'm expecting good customer service and free drinks, I hope. Right, it's free drinks there. Yes. I always have to ask because there's so many places, you know, where it's, you know, they'll serve you drinks, but you have to pay for the alcohol. I only hear good stories about Biloxi. I shouldn't say only, every once in a while there's something, but you know, it's, and I know Mississippi Rob has kind of been behind, you know, getting us all down there.
Yeah.
No, it's just, this has been on our list, Dr. Mike's and mine, for quite some time. If you recall, we were planning on going to Biloxi in April of 2020.
Right.
And, you know, up until like 3 or 4 weeks before, we were saying, yeah, we'll still do it. We'll still go.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is a long time coming.
The drink that I think we were going to try to talk you into joining us on is called a Walk Me Down. Have you had one of these before?
Oh, yeah. I've had many of those.
Oh, there we go.
Goes by another name. At least that's the way I learned it.
Right.
And I think I even had one when we were in Las Vegas last time.
Oh, yeah, you might have.
You know, it could be, though, that we were talked into some other kind of drink. I'm trying to remember. Well, anyway, yeah, it's the blue one, right?
Yes. Yes. It's the blue one, essentially a Long Island, but made with blue carousel.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Rather than Coke. Okay. Very good.
Yeah, and it catches up with you real quick.
It does. And that is, as we often like to say, the official cocktail of Biloxi gambling trips. Okay, well, Mark, I'm excited for this, man. I've been looking forward to a community trip in general. I've been looking forward to get back at the craps table with yourself, Rob, and other people. I think this is going to be a lot of fun. I look forward to seeing you there.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it too.
All right. I think that's going to do it for this episode of The Better Life. I hope to see some of you in Biloxi. I hope to then see maybe a few of you in Pittsburgh. I definitely hope to see a bunch of you in June. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen. We're coming back next week with an episode with Jeff Parles. On behalf of Mississippi Rob and Mark Duvall, I am Timothy Lawson. Good night and good luck.